Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Look, it was a superb outing by Ranger last night, but the whole game gets marred by the end. And to me, there's four things really at the end that really cheese me about the Rojas at-bat. Number one is that Rob Thompson should not have given him the at-bat. So that should go to either Stott or Kepler. Number two is that Dave Dombrowski, this is the group, you know, essentially of bench players that he gives Rob Thompson. And you think through the years, whether it's Greg Dobbs or Matt Stairs or Greg Gross or Kevin Jordan or Ricky Jordan, on down the line, quality bench players the Phillies have often had. I mean, I'd even take Rhea, Luis Aguayo in that spot.
No. I don't even. Are you ready to go there?
I swear to God, yeah. I'd take Jeltz. Wow. I'd take Jeltz in that spot over Rojas. All right. So that's number two. Like, this is my group. Come on now. Number three, as Ben pointed out, we've all been pointing out today, just a horrendous decision by Rojas to swing 2-0. I mean, come on, man. Come on. You got to know baseball. As Charlie Manuel would say, know thyself. As Larry Brown would say, play the game the right way. Swinging up 2-0 against a tremendous relief pitcher who has shown a tendency to be wild within that inning. He already hit two guys. He's you know, and one of them swung. That's why the dude didn't get on base. But he hit two batters. He's down 2-0 to the hitter. Like, take a freaking pitch or two. All right? He's got to throw three strikes before he throws two balls. I got Trey Turner on deck circle to bat next. Come on. And then four issue is, I just think Rob Thompson's got to know, knowing that the player really doesn't know how to play the game as well as, like, Lenny Dykstra, who would have clearly taken two pitches in that at-bat. I need Rob Thompson to put a hold sign on him. You ain't swinging, dude. Rob Thompson signals to third base coach or signals to Rojas, thou shall not swing. It's really not that hard. It's really not. But instead, none of that happens right. He swings. He fouls it off at a ball, by the way. A little high. Not, it was close, but a little high. And then, two pitches later with the third straight strike, and that's the end of the game. End of the bat, end of the game. And it just, to me, was a major missed opportunity. And it's the kind of thing, John, you know, I view this all through October. Like, Ben, I still remember you so fired up when the Phillies lost to the Mets last year. That was the most agitated you ever were on our show.
Yeah.
And that's how I view all of this. Like, I want them, because I know this, they can win the World Series. But there's such a thin line often between winning and losing. Look at the Eagles in 22. Look at the Eagles in 22. Think how close they came to winning that Super Bowl. They didn't, right? And like, even something, was it Sayamalu that jumped off sides?
That's just the, like, little things.
These are the kind of things that could end their October.
Right.
So don't let it happen.
Well, it's the little things. And this is something that Topper, as a manager, this is a Rojas reminder, yeah, is something that could have just made a major difference last night. You know, this is an area he's deficient in. Just, you know, like, baseball, I don't know, like, wherewithal.
Acumen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So get in his ear. Yeah, again, you just remind him of the little things you think are obvious, because it would have made a difference last night.
Yeah, it's just, and I know there's something to be said for trusting the player and all that, but there's also something to be said for winning the game. Winning the game. Take a freaking pitch.
This team can do all the big things, but it's the little things that's going to bite them in the rear end. You know what I mean?
I do.
There's the little things. Because this pitching will get them over the top. The starting rotation will get them over the top. But it's the little things in between that they have to tighten up.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Draft day also. Who do you want the Sixers to pick at three? Maybe you want them to not pick and make a trade. As Devin pointed out, the East is as wide open as it's been in our whole life. Tatum out. Porzingis and Jrue Holiday traded. Celtics probably off the map next year. Honestly, probably off the map. Pacers off the map, no Halliburton for the season. Knicks, maybe the best team in the East, but, you know, are they going to trade Karl-Anthony Towns? Are they going to win a title with him? I don't know, man. Like, it is wide open. With that said, I still don't trust Embiid, although it is tempting to say, let's go try to chase that title, try to get a veteran player in here for the third pick, or draft what you consider the most, you know, ready-to-go rookie. But I can't trust Embiid and Paul George. I just can't do it. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Paul in Downingtown. Paul, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Morning, Chef. So I'm right there. One of the things that I've realized about basketball, watching the finals, has made me realize that right now, currently, I'm so angry with the Sixers that I like the sport of basketball more than I like our local Sixers. Mm. And, you know, being that we can't go to the draft tonight and select a new owner and a new GM, I think we have to take Ace. I think we have to take the best available player. And the reason I think that is because I watched the finals. And it seems to me the way to attack basketball right now is with 8 players that are above average, 2 or 3 role guys, and you just go at an unbelievable pace. I mean, that's what the 2 teams that made the finals have. They have 8 quality basketball players and a handful of guys that fill roles, that know their role, and no one can keep up with them. And you know, I think that's the direction the Sixers need to go. And with that in mind, there's nothing wrong with taking another guard that has a huge upside. So, you know, go for it, man. Take the best guy, you know, the heck with position, take the best guy, and start rolling deep. I mean, that's I think that's the way you
so
have to
listen,
the
Paul,
NBA
say this. The thing I want more than anything is the player that whoever they believe that ultimately will give the Sixers the best career. I want to start with, you know, career, not year 1 or 2, career. And that may be a guard, okay? But I will tell you this. It does create a logjam. I mean, I don't – let me put it this way. Let's say they draft a guard and the guy's outstanding. I don't think Maxey, McCain, and that player are all on the team 24 months from now. I just don't. Now, it doesn't mean you can't trade Maxey or McCain or the other guy for something. You can, but it gets complicated because then other GMs know you're in a more desperate spot, and it's just – it's a tough road to go down when you almost have to make a trade. And it feels to me like if they draft a true guard, they will pretty much have to make a trade. Because it's not going to probably take long for Maxey and McCain to be their 2 best players on the team. I mean, if Embiid can't play, and Maxey and McCain might already be both better than Paul George. So it's just a log jam there.
It's true. And 3-guard lineups are tough. They can work, but, you know, it's tough. But on to baseball really quick. Like, I think that, you know, I kind of blame Topper because – Rojas has to be, he has to have that situational awareness not to swing there. He has to. And if he doesn't, the manager needs to know that and needs to make sure that it happens. I mean, so, you know, both of them, I fault both of them, but ultimately, you know, Rob needs to know, you know, what his players are aware of, what they're going to do, you know, and just swinging right there is ridiculous. I mean, my guys at Junior Babe Ruth wouldn't swing in that situation, you know, but ultimately, like on a grander scale, you know, I'm blaming Dombo, like the GM. I'm kind of down on our GM, you know, right now because he's got a very top-heavy lineup. He's got 2 contracts that make 2 players kind of unmovable that are quality players. And, you know, more importantly, when you have a top-heavy type lineup like that salary-wise, one of your primary jobs is to find guys that can play that are at that lower salary level, that lower pay scale, whether you're bringing them up from your AAA or whether you're finding them, you know, in the Rule 5 or however you're doing it. And the guy has failed for years to support the top end of his team. And that's why we have, you know, guys like, and there's nothing wrong with Buddy Kennedy. He's a great baseball player. He's better at baseball than I'm at anything. But the point being, you can't have those guys going 0-for-6 in key positions when you need to put runs on the board, and you can't have that happening constantly all season. And he's failed miserably to support, you know, Schwarber and Harper and you know, just a whole bunch, you know. And he puts so much on the pitching staff by having these holes in the lineup, and it's 100% his fault. He's had years to do something about it, and he's failed.
All right, Paul, give me a great scene in a movie that's based on a location. Location has to be central to the scene.
All right, well, this one's kind of weird, I think, but at the end of Planet of the Apes, when Charlton Heston sees the Statue of Liberty and realizes he's on Earth.
That's a great
that's
answer.
Weird.
That is an interesting
amazing
answer right there.
Answer.
Yeah. A great answer, yeah.
That's pretty good.
One of the great endings in movie history.
I like it. Seltzer, you really do know. Have you seen like 700 movies?
Probably more than that. I don't know. All I do is watch movies. Like it's when I have free time, if I have enough time to watch a movie, I watch a movie.
All right, so James, bringing it back to the baseball last night, what bothered you the most?
He doesn't watch the same movie over and over and over.
I will rewatch
either.
Some, but yeah.
He changes the title.
James, let me give you the Twitter poll question, and I'm curious how you answer. So the Twitter poll question for everyone brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's Armin's people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. So the first poll question is, if the Sixers take a guard, who do you think is more likely to be traded before the season, Maxey or McCain? One of them really could get traded before the season. That is really on the table if they draft a guard. But, James, answer the second poll question. Which of these bothered you the most last night with Rojas' final at-bat to end the game? 4 choices. A, that this is the bench Dombrowski gives Rob Thompson. B, that Topper chooses to not pinch hit Rojas. C, is that Rojas swings up 2-0 in the count. And D, is that Topper lets Rojas swing up 2-0 in the count without telling him, thou shalt not swing. James, which bothers you the most?
So the first three bother me in general, but it's definitely A. It all stems from A. If they have a better bench, if they have a right-handed bat on the bench, if they have a player you can put in that spot, he's not batting. Like, Rob Thompson, I don't think he batted Yoan Rojas there to, like, lose the game. You know, he thought in the situation that a right-handed bat against Hader was the best option. Like, he was wrong. It was a mistake. It didn't play out well. But the main reason for that is he didn't have a player that was the right choice to go to. And that's on Dombrowski, especially considering that the lineup itself stinks. Like, you have Buddy Kennedy and Edmundo Sosa and Yoan Rojas in the lineup. Like, It's for me, this all comes back to Dombrowski and the roster.
All right, so it's funny. You don't even mention D. D was the one that bothered me the most.
See, D bothers me the least by far.
And here's why it bothers me the most. Rob Thompson's going to have what he has for October. Whether it's, you know, exceptionally better, minimally better, or the same, he's going to have whatever he's going to have for October. John, my thing is I need Topper to know that he's going to manage the moment. I mean, you know, like, we got Ben here telling us managers will give a 2-0 take sign. And by the way, Ben, to lesser players, right?
Yes.
Not going to Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds didn't get a 2-0 take sign.
Right, everyone's but Rojas different. Ain't Barry Everyone Bonds. Has different needs. There's no harm in this.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Subtle hint, the subtle reminder, or not so subtle. Who cares? This guy needs to do the right thing. Yell at him if need be.
The reason I say D bothered me the most is because Rob Thompson's going to be managing in October, and I need him to manage it right.
I don't think that it's an automatic not swing at 2-0. If he gets a good pitch there, you're not going to get a good pitch from Hader. Like,
don't
Hader
trust
is
him.
So much. Hader can throw strikes against Rojas and beat him.
Like, okay.
I don't trust Rojas to work a walk in that case, even at 3-0. I think I get your point, but I think if in Yoan Rojas, you have to go up there and hope you get a pitch you can hit, and at 2-0 is probably your best chance to get a pitch you can hit.
I got Turner batting next. Just get him to the plate.
I don't think that he is capable of getting him to the plate by just walking. Like, I don't think Hader was going to walk him in that
spot. Well, we'll see what people think. 215-592-9494. Let's get to Derek and Paoli. What's going on, Derek?
Good morning. Yo, I want to talk about the draft, but real quick, just last week with the Phillies, we was talking about how he benched Castellanos, you know what I'm saying, he wasn't a good fielder. Mm-hmm. But in that situation, he leave Rojas out there. Like, what do you think was worse, benching Casty in that situation or letting Rojas go up there?
Well, Rojas, I didn't think it was wrong to take Castellanos out of the game for defensive purposes. Look, Derek, here's the one thing I'll say in Rob Thompson's defense with letting Rojas have that at bat last night. As James pointed out, and I thought about it in the moment, Rojas, because I would have taken him out because I do trust the others more, but the facts are this. Rojas, a right-handed hitter against left-handed pitching, does have a higher batting average than Stott or Kepler against a left-handed pitcher. So we can't act like when we say go to Stott or Kepler that they smash the ball against left-handed pitchers. They typically don't. Frankly, you had three bad options. I just know this. I've seen enough Phillies baseball to know I don't care what the numbers say. I trust Stott the most of those three. Kepler second, Rojas third, period. That's it. Period.
Yeah, you know, Stott would have worked the count a little bit better than him for sure. That's kind of like his strength. You know,
I sure hope so.
I don't know. But listen, with the Ace Bailey or Etchkum is my choice only because the way the NBA game is played. Like Ace Bailey has always been like one of the best players in the country. Like, if Cooper Flagg wasn't in this draft, like, I think Ace Bailey would be maybe the number one pick. His game is...
Well, he wouldn't be because Dylan... he wouldn't be because Dylan Harper would go number one.
Well, that's only by need, though.
I don't think you're right about that.
You gotta watch, bro.
Listen, Derek, watch him play. Two different things here. You may be right that he could prove to be a better NBA player than Dylan Harper. What I'm telling you is I haven't heard anybody say that they would take Ace Bailey other than you.
I don't mean it wrong, though. I don't mean it wrong.
Listen, you could be right. I mean, Tom Brady was taken in the sixth round. Anything's possible.
He could be better, but I don't think he would go first.
Correct.
Very clearly, because Dylan Harper's going to go second.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying a lot of times, like Cooper Flagg is just head and shoulders better than everybody in the draft, right? But after that, you go by need, right? So who does Spurs need more, Dylan Harper or Ace Bailey, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
They need both.
All right, Derek, give me a great answer for a scene where a real-life location is central to the scene.
Only one I can think of really is the art museum in Rocky, man. That give you
a big answer.
A really good answer.
Nice.
All right, hold on. There's multiple scenes. Which Rocky scene at the Rocky steps?
He's running up the steps.
You know this scene.
No, which
puts his arms in the air.
I got Rocky one. I got Rocky.
You got three with the statue.
I'm asking which.
There's not a single person would ask which one.
He's doing they're running up the steps.
You will complicate anything, man.
Thank you.
Well, this is the second time.
It always has to be a
Derek. Hold on, Derek.
He runs up at the kids.
Derek, the second time. Time he's
if
up there with the kids.
Man, I won't be mad, right?
Okay, I'm writing it down. Rocky 1, which is the second time he goes there. I mean, there's three different scenes.
But you know the
most
statue,
iconic scene.
You know where his arms are raised and he's
Devin
at the top.
His
the
arms
statue.
Are
a week
always
ago,
raised.
She knows. Thank you. I've seen it once.
So you disregard the kids in Rocky 2? John, that was formative. I was that age. I wanted to be running with Rock. Through
sure
Fairmount Park?
Yeah.
You kidding me?
I agree with Derek. You just overcomplicate everything.
Yes,
100%.
Devin, yes.
Well, he could win.
Imagine that.
He could. I mean, I was just trying to get, you know, here's the deal. I try to get things right.
You fantasized about chasing chickens?
Well, no. But I did fantasize about being a great athlete. And I'm not. But I know this. I'm better than Fritz. And let me prove to you part
what
of
what makes you say that part? You keep coming back to that.
Because he's a bozo.
You know that he pursued athletics as a vehicle to college.
I know he
education.
Did.
Education.
And good for him. And he played D7. Good for him.
Wow. Yeah.
What D did you play?
I played D drinking.
Mm-hmm.
I played day drinking, night drinking, and skipping class drinking.
He said D7.
All right. Let me just give you a little bit of what Jack Fritz is. So I don't know how many people listening right now heard this. I did. And it was preposterous. At 5:55, does anybody know what 5:55 last night on WIP was?
No.
Okay.
No.
By the way, Spike's going to join us in 15 minutes on the draft, so we look forward to talking to Spike about the draft. So 5:55 yesterday, after I leave Riverwinds, and I videotaped Riverwinds, and I'm getting more prepared for me versus Fritch, which is going to be Sunday at 11:10 at Jaws' Golf Course, Riverwinds. So I'm driving home. I'm in a good mood, right? I mean, Phil's about to play the Astros. Phil's got first place. It's 5:55 p.m. Spike, Ike, and Fritz are about to sign off on the show. And talk about misreporting by Fritz. He totally gives the impression that Bryce Harper is about to play in the game what? 2 hours later. Let's roll the tape. Last night, 5:55 p.m. I could not believe the way Fritz presented this. Listen to Spike, Ike, and Fritz. Ike asked a very direct question. Listen to this exchange.
Did the lineup come out yet?
So the lineup is out.
Nothing.
And Bryce is there.
Whoa. Were you going to bury that?
Well, I just saw the tweet a second ago. See, now who made that guess earlier? Who was asking if he was in Houston when you said the lineup wasn't
you
out
were.
Yet? Okay. So Bryce will do his full routine today, pregame, take about 50 swings, field grounders, and go through his throwing program. Could progress to BP in the cage tomorrow, but today goes well. Progressing, but Thompson didn't sound like he expected him to be activated in Houston. That's according to Corey Seidel.
So he's not in the lineup.
No, he's not in the lineup, but I think he's there.
He's there.
But that's why I said he's there. He said,
what's the lineup?
And you said he's there. So we thought he was in the
lineup. I was trying to read while interpreting what you guys are
Shut
saying.
Shut up.
I mean, this guy.
Yeah, that was very confusing.
That's
not
horrendous.
Great.
Not great.
That's, yeah.
I was so excited.
I don't
excited.
Think that has anything to do with athleticism, though, if we're being honest, if that's what we're talking about.
But, John, you got to admit, man, that was a major
To be
what
fair,
is that nonsense?
I heard Spike last week or before the Mets series saying that he thought Bryce Harper was going to be activated. For what it's worth, I don't think we're going to see Bryce Harper playing baseball at least for another week.
Well, you know what? Let's listen to Dave Dombrowski from yesterday. So we actually have audio of Dombo pregame yesterday. I don't remember if this is TV or radio, but let's listen to Dombrowski before the game and update on Bryce Harper.
Well, he is making progress. He is getting closer. We kept him back last road trip. It was just a short trip. So he was able to do the work that he needed to. He's starting to progress now. We're leaving, doing some T work and throwing. It comes down, this is an unusual one in that the doctors have cleared him as far as progress is concerned. So now it's more a matter of pain tolerance once he builds up and how he feels. So really nobody knows that answer. The feeling is that he should be fine as he progresses. I don't know the exact number of days we're talking about. That's where the unusual part is, too, because if he continues to progress and doesn't have a great deal of pain, then he can move forward and just get his timing back. Of course, if he does have pain, which we're not anticipating, then you have to take it slower at that time. So I don't really have an exact time frame, but everything is progressing in a positive fashion.
Despite that last phrase, Devin, I agree with you. I don't think he plays in the next 4 or 5 days the way Dombrowski framed it.
Well,
I don't know.
It's possible, but
it's concerning that there's no, like, he can play.
Why not?
Like, he's cleared to play, but he's still in pain, and it's an inflammation. It's an injury that no one really, even Bryce Harper himself, has said, like, we don't know.
He's probably worried.
He should be. It's worrisome.
I totally agree. He swings and it hurts, so he's trying to not have that happen.
Right.
And it might be unavoidable.
Even if it goes away, he could go out there and his first at bat,
right,
it starts hurting again.
Yeah, for a chronic condition, you know, a thing that has persisted now since last season. You know, this is the type of thing you hope it calms down. And that's sort of like he's on this trip with the team doing the team thing because maybe he wakes up and it's like, hey, I feel normal.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Ray, say it again.
I mean, a lot of people think he came on this trip because they could possibly activate him for the break.
No, I'm not saying it's impossible. Yeah. I'm just saying when I hear Dombrowski say that.
That's a huge factor is my point.
Sure.
You know, he's there.
He's there.
Because, hey, if I wake up feeling normal, I'm going to try to give this thing a go, you know, go through warm-ups, see if it continues to stay feeling good. Like, I don't think it's – I think counting him out is silly.
No,
I'm
just not counting him in.
Any one of these games here.
I mean, there's a difference.
Like,
I
think he just took or has yet to take a full batting practice. So, I mean, he still has to work his way
up. I don't understand
up.
The 50-swing thing.
Yeah, how
– I don't – the thing is if you have a wrist injury – it's like you can't be half pregnant. Either your wrist hurts and you can't
play. I can attest to that, Ben, as the only one here. Yes, you can't be half.
Like, I don't understand. Like, you hit with your hands and your forearms. And the wrist obviously is a big component of that. If your wrist hurts, you can't play. You can't swing, period. Like that, you can't do it. If you have that much pain or discomfort in your wrist, you can't hit a baseball. It's not like it's like, oh, it feels okay. It either you can swing or you can't. Like, that's the bottom line.
So you got concerned, basically.
I'm very concerned, especially because there's no
diagnosis.
Exactly. It's not like you break your leg, you're out for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
You put your leg in the cast, and then you rehab it, and then you know you're going to be back in maybe 10 weeks.
I totally agree.
There's no timetable. That's what baffles me and it also concerns me greatly.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. We're going to get Spike's perspective on the NBA draft and who he wants the Sixers to pick with pick 3 coming up in less than 10 minutes. Phone calls right now, 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, as we broadcast today, of course, from the Tasty Cake Studio.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.